Welcome back in the Morning Hookup. Man, we're having a great time on a Tuesday. Hope you are too. It only gets better right now with our guy, Brian Munson, HuskerOnline.com. Brian, what's good on a Tuesday?
Hey, guys. Just hanging out here. I know we're getting another week closer to the season, and the media days is this week, so the anticipation is palpable.
Oh. Was it like a prerequisite as being the new athletic director, one without a Twitter account? You step in day one, you have to have a Twitter account? I was like, oh, wait, Trev doesn't have anything. He's got to talk.
You know, I still haven't followed him. And when Robin posted that on the scrolls yesterday, I was like, huh, I didn't realize Trev wasn't on Twitter.
It's like a prerequisite nowadays because you got to get your brand out there. NIL, Trev needs one.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that's exactly what Trev is going to bed every night thinking about, that his brand isn't strong enough. But I think it makes sense, obviously, and I think that it's going to be something that I'm sure that the athletes are going to be interested in when it comes to just kind of the communication. I know that there were a couple of the candidates, at least one of the candidates that we were talking about over the last couple of weeks, that was very active on social media, and it was quite the change, obviously, when you're going from Bill Moose to that. So someplace in between would be comfortable, and I think that people want to see what he's kind of up to and what he's thinking about. So I think it's a great move, and I didn't realize he wasn't on social media to begin with.
So you're saying not Tim Miles, less than that, less than Bill Moose, somewhere in the middle between Miles and Moose.
Yeah, there's got to be a comfortable somewhere in the middle. Like maybe not at halftime during a game that you're coaching in, and yet not at all. So somewhere between that, and that's a pretty wide range.
Sorry, I had to bring that out because I'm like, whoa, day one, there he is. First tweet of the morning. Like I walked in the office, got my account, boom, no place like Nebraska.
Well, I definitely excited, though, to see that he's jumping into this thing, because I think there's a lot of work for them to get going on, and certainly it seemed like from his press conference last week that he's not afraid of putting in some long hours, and the elbow grease is going to go along with some of the things, of course, that they've got to push, because he brought up some really, really, really complicated and things that are still being sorted out, like NIL, so that's those are some things there I think that those guys are gonna have to dig into and figure out how they can best help their student athletes.
Hey, Brian, on HuskerOnline.com, there was a great article put out, and it was with Coach Fisher about the competition that he's been dreaming of. And I think that's so important, that when you've been dreaming of competition, I don't know if people get that as much. They used to back in the 90s when everybody was like 2-3 deep, everybody had a chance. What can you say about that room right now and the competition that's brewing? Because he has a lot of great stuff in there about the bees and the third starter at safety and things like that. When you look at that, how much stronger is that room going to be based on what Coach Fisher alludes to?
Well, yeah. I mean, and first of all, it was a great article by Abby Barmore. Yes. She's been a great, great, great addition to the staff there at Husker Online. Sean's found a great one there. We were talking about it in chat a little bit this morning already, where – who is kind of what's kind of happening with the competition at the cornerback spot, opposite Taylor Britt? Do you have Newsome, Farmer, Johnson? Man, either way, it's an improvement, right? Because we're not just talking about one guy at each spot, then like a quagmire, right? You have not necessarily these multiple layers, but you've got multiple names that you can bring up and go, well, that guy figures into this spot, and along with this guy and this guy, and there's going to be a great competition going on there. So first of all, I'm a huge proponent of improving the room competition-wise at all times. I don't think that people appreciate it enough that the development that happens on a weekly basis through your game plan preparation, it's not necessarily all because you're sitting in front of a video and watching film, and going through the steps, of course, that, you think you're going to have to take because this team that you're playing against does this. No, I think a lot of it is because guys press themselves throughout the week because they want to see the football field. And if you're not showing improvement and energy and effort and all those things that kind of go along with it on a Tuesday through Thursday thing, you're going to be stuck on the sideline watching the game on Saturday. And if you ask those guys, I mean, if there's not a more depressing thing in the world, and of course with COVID and the teams that didn't play last year and not having spring football the year before, when you don't have an ability to go out there and showcase and mm-hmm. compete, football is a very tiring, you know, rigorous sport that you have to prepare for, and if you don't have that chance to compete, it really, like, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So when you get to that week, when you get a chance to push yourself and push other guys, you have that iron sharpening iron. You have those guys that are kind of improving, pushing the team. That is where you really start to see the team improve in leaps and bounds from week to week when you have great competition. Otherwise, when you've got just nothing there but the top guy, it's static. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing dynamic then that's going on during the week about improvement or a guy taking a step forward. So it's a huge thing to have competition in the room.
We're talking to Brian Munson. Brian, a couple days ago we saw Caden Helms, another Omaha player, commit to Oklahoma. And, you know, of course he joins a list of a few other Omaha prospects who have committed outside of the state. And I'm curious, you know, last week we talked about how, you know, the whole redshirt thing is just kind of screwing up, spots on the roster. Does that have anything to do with losing this Omaha talent?
You know, I don't think so. I think Caden, along with, you know, a few of the other guys that were there in Omaha, they had kind of predetermined or got there, you know, through their process that they were going to leave the state. And it's a bad year for Nebraska to have that happen. Number one, because of the size of the class. You would have loved to have been able to grab as many of the in-state guys as you possibly could to kind of fill up that 13, 14, 15-person class, or you could take five or six guys from in-state. It would have been huge. The other part, the other side of that is that if you really go down through the commitment list, this is something that I kind of made made a note of in Tunnel Talk last week, there are not a lot of guys that are moving around nationally, you know, across in recruiting. Many guys, most of the guys are staying, you know, home. And then like the next highest percentage, at least from like the guys I looked at from like on the Nebraska offer list, they're staying like in the neighboring states, like neighboring state schools. So when you got some guys that are packing up and going to Oklahoma or packing up and going to Auburn or, you know, considering Arizona State, particularly this year, it's unusual and it's not a good sign. So you had a rough setback this year with having some guys that are just kind of the hip thing to do was kind of leave. And this is something that we've seen before with Nebraska football. There wasn't any way it seemed to kind of get it to kind of go the other way. And Nebraska's had to go out there and find other guys that are interested in playing for Nebraska. So I think it was something that a lot of people understood, though, very early, that none of those four or five guys were gonna end up in Lincoln to play college football.
Hey, Brian, when you look at that, we talk about the kids that are leaving the state to go somewhere else. I'm not sure if you saw it, but Adam Rittenberger put out an article on ESPN.com. Mm-hmm. Yes, the other might have been today. Sorry, we were just talking about it a lot. But it says the article heading is Nebraska and the Big Ten, a decade of struggle for stability. How much has that played the role? Because you lived through this, you saw the transition. Because the Big Ten provided stability for us as a conference with what was going on with Texas, the Longhorn Network, the Big 12. But yet once we've entered into this, that West, if you look at the West, that is the poster of stability from teams. But yet you insert us, and we have been every bit of not that. Like Donato said, the culture of Nebraska is the culture of instability.
I don't disagree a lot with it. I mean, I think that there's been, you know, you've got, gosh, how many? So we've got one, two athletic directors, you know, kind of since it all happened, maybe three. But I guess, I-Course was part of that equation?
Yeah, I think he was, yes.
So you went from Sean to Moose to now to Trev, and you've had three other head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So the instability. Well, and also you've got to consider all the other. And I think that this is kind of what brings it out to me a little bit. There was always these coaching carousels underneath those head coaches, mm-hmm. where their assistant coaches were changing out left and right, and that makes it really tough to kind of keep a consistent product on the football field. But I do agree with that. It's been difficult, and I think that Nebraska fans and Nebraska in general was pretty put out with the Big 12 and catering to Texas. I mean, living in Dallas, it was pretty evident to me, having shown up at the Big 12 conference championship game and gone to a few games down here myself. It was pretty apparent. But I think that Nebraska got a little bit more than what they could bargain for, you know, when it came to going to the Big Ten. I mean, obviously the money is there with the conference and the TV contracts. I think, though, that what you see is top to bottom, you have a better conference when it comes to the competition. So you don't just have a Texas OU. Now you've got an Ohio State, a Michigan, a Penn State, a Michigan State. You got Purdue that's come up. And you've got a lot more of, like, and Wisconsin, I don't want to leave those guys out. But you've got in Iowa, but you've got this group of teams, these 6, 7, 8 teams, as opposed to 2 that are kind of entrenched in that upper half of the conference. And I don't think that people realize what an extra conference game does to your team. That takes a lot out of them. If you look at some of those months that Nebraska's had to go through, and they play a bunch of really hard-nosed Big Ten traditional-type teams where you get the Michigan, the Michigan States, the Purdues, the Northwesterns, and you play those four teams kind of in a row in the month of October. November typically sets up to be a really long month because you're usually talking about having multiple injuries and guys being beat up and whatever, and that's what goes along with playing in this conference. It is a truly physical conference. It's played between the tackles. It's not really a spread you out kind of thing, and that's what really it's about managing all of that. Nebraska has not had the depth to kind of get into that. That's what kind of goes along with that first question that I took today earlier on the show. Nebraska's finally getting there. There's finally getting there into some spots where you start bringing out guys like Brant Banks or Henry Lutowski. Does he figure into the equation, you know, offensive line? You know, having 2 or 3 running backs, you know, and having a wide receiver room finally that has some potential, you know, to really be that best group of wide receivers that we've seen in Nebraska in a long time. Those are the kinds of things that are going to have to happen to make it through that long month of October when you play 4 slobber knocker teams from the Big Ten that are going to go out there and game plan so they can beat the Cornhuskers, because it's always circled on their schedule.
Hey, Brian, looking at that too, and I mean, you're the expert on this for sure, and it talked about the recruiting landscape and how it changed. You know, in your opinion there, how did it change so dramatically? Because in my opinion, I mean, I was reading the article and I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense. You as Nebraska, you've got this brand in the Big 12. Like, you were getting Texas, you were in there, whether it be the proximity from there to Nebraska, things like that. But also, you weren't the brand walking into the Big Ten country. And I think maybe we thought we might have been, that we could walk in the door a little bit and say, well, Nebraska's here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, I mean, yeah, you know, on that
I,
side?
I think that there's been a radical shift, right? Number one, you don't have a Big Ten team down here in Texas for 800 miles, 700 miles or so. So for a parent of a kid that's going to go play in the Big Ten, you're highly dependent on the Big Ten network, because chances are, you know, you're going to have to watch some of those games. And there's typically the Big Ten teams aren't playing in the state of Texas unless they're in a bowl game. Mm-hmm. So if you really kind of eliminate that and you back that down from a parent that's kind of thinking about that, well, if that's important, you know, then that's a big deal. And obviously from a person who's made that trek plenty of times north, it is a bit of a haul. And a lot of times, you know, when you start talking to a kid and their parents, they say, well, we want to limit it to a 3-hour or 4-hour radius when it comes to the schools. Well, that puts Nebraska out of the equation. In fact, that only gets you just probably till, you know, right south of the Kansas-Oklahoma border going north. So that's a tough situation to kind of get around. So if you're going to go ahead and leave that behind, and then you're going to substitute that with what you had kind of coming with you from UCF, well, then you have to realize you're not recruiting your Florida players anymore to Orlando. You're recruiting them to Lincoln. That is a tough substitution. And it's not because UCF is better than Nebraska. It's because of the distance. It's because of the weather. It's because of the stereotypical response that I always get when it comes to a recruit that's never been to Nebraska before, never been out of basically the home state before, and they say, yeah, they told me there was nothing here. And they told me that they were still in horse-drawn carriages, you know, and that there was nothing but cornfields. That is a living stereotype. And I, for the life of me, for people who have, you know, internet's been here now for, gosh, how long, 25, 30 years? For that to still be around, complete and total either humor or ignorance. Pick your poison. But that is what Nebraska's kind of up against. There is a real difficulty to find that second and third tier kid in Florida that's as interested to come to Lincoln, that is more interested now to stay in the state and go to a UCF or you know, all the kids that transferred back and went to Florida Atlantic and Florida International. That's a real thing. They really want to stay home. Now, you've got to find the right pockets, and I think Nebraska wasn't really established east to west when it comes to the Big Ten footprint, and they're getting there. They're in the Connecticuts. They're in the Massachusetts now. They're in the New Jersey, and they're starting to get some kids out of that area. But those are bad. Those are some tough substitutions. Not bad substitutions. Those are some tough substitutions to make just because, you know, they're not necessarily the Californias and the Texases and the Arizonas and even like the Colorados where Nebraska or Missouri's and Nebraska is struggling to get players out of that they typically were able to get players out of fairly commonly.
We're talking to Brian Munson. Brian, looking at the D tackle, you know, looking at your big board, which people should go check it out, HuskerOnline.com. You know, talking about the D tackle position, you got two guys listed there, Dominique Orange and Kenneth Grant. You know, give me your thoughts on these two guys. And I mean, you're looking like, or in your big board, you're saying like Orange could be making his way to campus.
Yeah, I think Orange could make his way over. I just think it's such a difficult pull. You know, he's got Ohio State, you know, knocking at the door. He's really elevated himself from being kind of a top regional guy to being a national guy. And the difference there is this, is when you start talking about the regional guys, you got, you know, if it's a Kansas City guy, you've got probably Oklahoma and the Kansas schools and Missouri and Nebraska and Iowa are all kind of knocking on the door. But then when Ohio State starts to take a look at a Kansas City guy, and you get some other teams to kind of get in there too and take a look at him, you've kind of blown past that regional kind of category. You're now a national guy. So Orange, you know, the big thing obviously is with that article that I was quoting in there was that, you know, he had spoke with the new head coach at Kansas and that Nebraska was still coming up in conversation about a school that he wants to go ahead and visit. I really think Nebraska is up against it this year to kind of find a defensive tackle. I thought that they did a great job in securing Hayden Schwartz last week because, you know, you lost out on Jalen Marshall. And Jalen Marshall had some tremendous versatility, another kid from the Kansas City area, but on the Kansas side of the line. He had that ability to kind of move down, play defensive tackle kind of guy and move out and play defensive end if you wanted to go a little bit heavier out there. But, you know, you lose out on him going to Missouri, and Orange is a – and Grant, to be honest, too. I mean, Grant's come out and given the top three. Nebraska's not in it, and Orange is only talking about taking a visit yet, and he hasn't gotten there so far. I think that it's going to be really difficult for Nebraska to kind of find a guy. But I don't put it to bed yet that they're not going to. It's just going to be something that's probably going to extend into the season – and I wouldn't be surprised if they are in the market sometime later on, maybe as a grad transfer or transfer portal or even a junior college situation.
Hey, Brian, we are a day or so away. Big Ten Media Days is upon us. When you look at Big Ten Media Days over the time, I mean, I think to me it just signifies we're about to start fall camp. Is there anything that we should be looking for with the three guys that are going to be there? Coach Frost, all that stuff. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything mind-blowing to come out of this, right?
I don't. You know, I think that particularly for a guy like Steely, I want to hear about what brought him back to Lincoln again. You know, that was a guy that got a little nicked up last year, but he has seen some tremendous gains. I mean, it's you'd have to be blind to not see the gains that he has made since Zach Duvall's made his way to Lincoln. He's really put in the time in the weight room, and it's showing. He's a guy that, you know, if he has a nice season this year, you know, you never know. But I mean, it's one of those things you want to hear about what's really brought him back, the camaraderie. You know, that's a defense that really improved week over week, and at the end of the year, obviously, was a way better unit than I think that a lot of people thought they would be, and they were definitely a better unit than the season before. And there's a lot of people that have eyes on that just to see about the consistency and can they pick up from where they were at. So I want to hear about the defense, and I want to hear about, you know, Martinez and him being healthy coming into the season. I think that he was beat up again last season. I think he's been truly healthy since like the game one or two of his freshman year. He's always been kind of dealing with it. So those are the big storylines for me, obviously. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about Nebraska needs to clean it up on special teams. That's still a huge part of what happened last season. And I think that they're going to have to figure out the kicking side, the return side, all the little things that go into it. And I'm really hoping that there's something been addressed about that during the media days conversation.
Yeah, maybe you take out walk-ons, you know, during special. No, I'm being serious. Like, maybe that's something you do to improve it. I'm not sure. But we're talking to Brian Munson. Brian, I'm curious, you know, looking at the running back room right now, you talk to a lot of people, they say it's questionable. We don't quite know what we're getting. Is that really the only issue? Because there's depth. We know there's a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of room in that area. Is it just a matter of, you know, we haven't seen what we have?
I think that that's a big part of it. You know, you got Irvin, you got Ant, and you got Step. What do we know about those guys? And even like the guys behind them, you know, that are like Scott and Tom, and not Tompkins, the kid from the East Coast. Oh man, my mind just went. So you had Sevin Morrison, and you had Johnson. So you got like six guys I just named off right there, but we don't know anything about them. And it's just, I don't think anybody wants to say it's not a talented room. I just don't think that anybody really feels like looking at it that there's a guy, and there could be several. There could actually be several guys that could actually emerge out of this thing. We just don't know. So I got to admit, you know, I'm very intrigued about Gabe Irvin. I think that he's a complete package kind of guy, big guy. It's always going to be a huge leap, obviously, to go from high school to playing running back in the Big Ten. So you want to see how he takes it on. You want to see how he stays healthy.
Hey, Brian, one interesting, and I know you know the answer or have an answer to it. Did the multiple teams play off the recruiting pitch off each other? Because right now, you can see what the momentum is going on with baseball and Coach Bolt. You can see momentum going on right now with Coach Hoiberg. We know what Coach Cook does, right? Is there a time where they multiple, like, maybe they meet a player or they talk to them? I don't know. I know that we have our own staff that talk to the kids, but do they merge together at all?
I don't know necessarily about you're talking about like the staff behind the scenes.
Well, like just seeing a kid, like, hey, look at what's going on here, or they talk about the programs and the momentum as an athletic department.
Right. I certainly feel like recruiting is going to be something that's going to come up. I think that this is for football. It's a tough year. And I don't want to keep making excuses because it definitely sounds like I am. But I see the challenges, obviously, in what Scott Frost is battling this year. Mm-hmm. Just sitting where I'm sitting, and I'm not even in the cheap seats, man. I'm envious of Bob Uecker. So
yeah.
I'm sitting that far back, and I'm going, this would be a really, really, really difficult thing to kind of do just because none of these kids had really been to Nebraska before, and I've got – you know, kind of this ongoing challenge that nobody's really leaving the areas in which I'm trying to recruit from to bring them to Nebraska. It's kind of an off year. And I lost four or five guys in-state talent-wise that I would have loved to have kept in Lincoln. And then my class would have been at 13 right now, looking at maybe two more guys is all. This is just a bad year, and plus you have the red shirts and the true freshmen and this super senior thing that kind of all just came together, and it is a little bit of a perfect storm for Nebraska to have to kind of work through when it comes to recruiting and figuring things out. So I think that they're going to have to get into their rosters very, very early, figure out the guys, of course, that they feel like are not going to play or not going to be a part of that team at any point in the future, and start having some tough conversations, maybe even during fall camp. And you're going to have to try to find a way to create some flexibility and some freedoms within your own number and your constraints that you've got currently. So I just think Nebraska's up against it just with all the things, of course, that are kind of going on currently with the landscape of college football.
Brian, man, we appreciate you, man. Every Tuesday, man, always just a ton of knowledge, man, and it just brings so much to our show, man. Have a great Tuesday, and we'll catch you next week.
Sounds great, man. See ya.
Brian Munson, HuskerOnline.com right there. Good stuff. Tomorrow, Jameson Welch, Robin Washett, HuskerOnline.com.
Suns winning tonight.
Suns not winning. Bucks winning. I'm playing at your golf course. Have a great Tuesday. Catch you on a hump, dude.